I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa
and Ibrahim
Kwatin.
In the headlines, government urged to revisit status of polytechnics. Fifth Parliament to round up activities as it resumes today. Libya orders closure of its southern borders. And President Obama reiterates call to deal with gun crime to prevent more tragedies. First, the summary by Ibrahim Kwatin.
A suggestion has been made to government to consider upgrading some polytechnics into technical universities instead of starting a new technical university from the scratch. Director of the Takoradi Polytechnic made a suggestion at a forum organized by the institution at Takoradi. Parliament will start rounding up its activities from today. The majority leader, Cletus Avoka, said the House has set up a committee to oversee the transition into the sixth parliament. Libya's parliament has ordered a temporary closure of its southern borders and declared seven southern regions restricted military areas. The move is aimed at stemming the flow of illegal immigrants and goods. And U.S. President Barack Obama says he will use the powers of his office to prevent a repeat of shootings in a school that claimed 26 lives. All 20 children who died in the shootings, 8 boys and 12 girls, were aged between 6 and 7.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. The rector of the Takoradi Polytechnic, Reverend Professor Daniel Nyako, has urged government to revisit the issue of the status of polytechnics. He said if the country is to consolidate its middle-income status and strive for rapid industrialization growth, polytechnic education must be accorded the needed priority. Reverend Professor Nyako therefore suggested the upgrading of some of the polytechnics into technical universities, as Britain and other European and South Asian countries have done, instead of starting a new technical university from the scratch. He was speaking at a forum organized by the Polytechnic in Takoradi. George Grant Yangson has the story.
Reverend Professor Nyakun said Kenya has chosen that path and upgraded her two leading polytechnics in Nairobi and Mombasa into technical universities. He said in Ghana, such upgrades will be more cost-effective and will not erode the mandate of the polytechnics to produce the skilled middle-level manpower and critical technicians needed in industry and commerce. It will rather enhance the capacity of the polytechnics to offer degree programs as a logical route for academic progression for their graduates. The chairman of the Takoradi Polytechnic Council, Professor Jojo Duro, appealed to the National Accreditation Board to rethink the entire policy on minimum entry requirements for polytechnic programs within the context of philosophies underlying each course offered in the institutions. While the universities lay emphasis on the theoretical dimensions of programs, polytechnics are by law required to emphasize competency, skill, practical and entrepreneurial focused training opportunities for their students. Professor Odru said it is therefore of his candid opinion that since grades D7 and E8 are classified as passed by the West African Examinations Council, no individual offering to pursue a hands-on training program in the polytechnic would have passed in English and mathematics in addition to the relevant elective subjects should be denied denied entry. He said he finds it ridiculously incomprehensible that a student who obtains aggregate 21 in 6 subjects could be denied admission into a polytechnic merely because he or she scored D7 in English, while the one who obtains aggregate 30 qualifies for admission. The Vice Chancellor of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, Professor William Otu Ellis, stressed the need to strengthen the relationship with the university because most of the courses studied at the Takoradi Polytechnic falls within the purview of the KNUSP. For Radio Ghana, this has been George Grant Youngson reporting from Takoradi.
And still on education, government has been urged to consider extending support for scholarship for research and training of lecturers in the private universities. This will help in the development of effective and skilled labor to enhance the manpower base of the country. State funding should also be targeted at the provision of facilities and equipment needed for science and technical education. The board chairman of the Presbyterian University College Council, Sam Okujetu, said this at the 6th congregation of the university at Abitifi in the Kwahu East District of the Eastern Region. Correspondent Henoko Seikisi has filed this report.
About 522 students from the 4 campuses of the university in Abetifi, Akropong, Asante Achim and Tema graduated in Business Administration and Economics, Information Communication Technology, Mathematics, Environmental and Natural Resource Management, Rural and Community Development and Nursing, with 32 students obtaining first class. The university, which will mark its 10th anniversary next year, currently has a student population of 2,300. The board chairman of the university's council, Sam Okujatu, said presently the state policy on funding of tertiary education is discriminatory against students in private universities. There is therefore the need for the state to take a second look at its support to such institutions, especially mission-funded universities. Such a move, he said, will provide equity in the distribution of national budget for education to all students, irrespective of where one is studying. Mr. Okujatu said private universities have helped to nurture many scholars and professionals who are currently serving in various sectors of the economy. The president of the university, Professor Kofi Srakulati, said the Presbyterian University College has put in place measures to improve teaching and learning for efficient academic work. Currently, some of the courses can be accessed through the internet on the university's website by students, which assists them to have access to course materials as well as interact with lecturers throughout the year. He said the university has also introduced a department for agribusiness where farming will be taught with the intention of training students who will create jobs for themselves and others after the university. Professor Srakulati said the university recently received an award from the Exams Ethics Marshall International, ranking the university as the number one private institution in Ghana for the year 2012.
Henoko Sekisi's report.
The executive director of West African Network for Peace Building, Emmanuel Bombandi, has advised stakeholders in the country's democratic governance to do away with the competitive mood after the December elections. They should come on board to ensure effective democratic governance. Mr. Bombandi urged opposition parties to harness their expertise into a venture that will benefit the nation. Speaking on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, which dwelt on the victory speech of President-elect Mahama, Mr. Bombandi noted that the timing of the speech was prudent and meant to unite a polarized nation. He said though the opposition may have divergent views, it must express its sentiments in a decorous manner that will not mar the peace of the country.
The cooperation is about when you are from the side that says, I do not agree with you, and you are not the president I voted for. That is no longer the issue. The issue now is that I'll be constructive in my criticism for you to keep in mind that it's about sending this nation to a higher pedestal. And the more we do that, then our political governance system is about the true meaning of democratic governance, in which we all have those values that underpin democracy. And let me quickly add here that democracy in itself is hollow. It has no meaning if you don't break it down to its values. And what are its values? Tolerance, accepting different views and opinions, ensuring that there is a freedom of expression to be able to articulate ideas and be free to articulate those ideas. And the more we do this, the more we generate a better and enriched society. so to speak, level of thinking that continuously takes us to a higher level.
What stands before us cuts across allegiances. We cannot afford to be enemies of ourselves. We have come too far to weigh ourselves down with pettiness, intolerance.
Absolutely. And intolerance has various ways of appreciating the word intolerance. What is important is that we are all Ghanaians, and let us harness our energies. Since we normally refer to the democracies that have been there for very long, the United States is more than 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
When President Obama was elected, in the state of Louisiana, there were up to 700,000 petitioners who wrote to secede. We did not vote for President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That is happening. And so let's not look at what is happening in our political context. To be honest, it's not serious.
The Deputy Executive Director of Media Foundation for West Africa, Suleiman Abraima, said the EC is a strong institution which has over the years built a reputation for itself. He cautioned parties that feel aggrieved by the declaration of the results by the EC to follow due process and proceed to court. He urged leadership of political parties and their supporters to heed the President's call for unity and be on board to contribute towards the socio-economic development of the country.
And I think that if you look at, you read or you were to listen to the President and what he said, first of all, indicating that, well, we have a nation that is still united. We must aspire that we have hope ahead of us. This country will continue to be one of the best in Africa. We must unite as one people, regardless of whether you are from the north, south, east, or west. Yes, the MPP has indicated that it wants to go to court. And I believe that going to court, you know, and the outcome of the court processes and all of that would further also enhance, you know, our democratic processes. Who knows what will happen in court? And we have always said that, well, these are the procedures for addressing election disputes and all of that. To what extent have we tested them to know that indeed these are mechanisms that can really resolve any challenges that come up? So let us have them go to court. We test the mechanisms and see how resolute they are, and see how, and because they are part of the democratic institutions. The court mechanisms are all part of the democratic institutions, and we need to test them.
The Deputy Executive Director of Media Foundation for West Africa, Suleiman Abraima.
And now moving on, the moderator of the General Assembly of the EP Church, Right Reverend Francis Amenu, has called on Ghanaians to uphold and preserve the legacies of nationalism and democratic structures bequeathed to the nation by its freedom fighters. Reacting to reported cases of violent demonstrations following the Electoral Commission's declaration of presidential results, the EP moderator reiterated his appeal to aggrieved parties to exercise restraint and seek the appropriate channel for redress, adding that it would be unfortunate for the country to be polarized along partisan and ethnic lines. Right Reverend Amenu, who is also the Vice Chairman of the Christian Council of Ghana, was speaking at a Thanksgiving service to climax activities marking the centenary of the Anyarawase Awudome EP Church in the Volta region. We bring you the details.
The establishment of the EP Church at Anyarawase in 1912 was through the initiative of the then paramount chief of the area, Togbega Adaikwesi Setre, and the Bremen missionaries. The centenary celebrations, which attracted natives of the town from home and abroad, witnessed the dedication of a newly built chapel. Speaking at the Thanksgiving service, Right Reverend Amenu congratulated President-elect John Dramani Mahama on his victory. He also expressed gratitude to various religious bodies, the EC, media, security personnel, domestic and international observers, political parties and civil society organizations for their role that led to a successful and peaceful election. He, however, urged the leadership of political parties to demonstrate high sense of restraint, worthy of emulation by their followers, while calling on the National Peace Council to intensify its mediation roles. With a personal donation of 2,000 Ghana Cedis seed money, the paramount chief of Awudome traditional area, Togbega Adaikwesi, launched an educational endowment fund aimed at providing a facelift to basic and second cycle education in the area. The president of the EP University College, Reverend Dr. Cyril Fayose, urged the people to use the anniversary to take stock of their spiritual and physical development over the years and strategically plan for improvement. The MP for Whole West, Emmanuel Bezra, lauded the AP Church for its contributions to evangelism, education and peace negotiations in the country. He expressed gratitude for his re-election Foundation and pledged 100 bags of cement towards the completion of the chapel.
A news desk report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Government urged to revisit status of polytechnics. Fit Parliament to round up activities as it resumes today. Libya orders closure of southern borders. And President Obama reiterates call to deal with gun crime to prevent more tragedies.
Parliament will start rounding up its activities from today. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the majority leader, Gladys Avoka, said the House has put in place a committee to oversee the transition into the sixth parliament. He described the activities of the fifth parliament as a successful one, having passed into law several landmark bills and approved vital loans. He spoke to Augustus Akwi.
We are reconvening on Monday, 17th of December. And then we will close on the Friday, 21st of December, and then go on the Christmas break. We intend to come back on the 3rd of January, 2013. And then this parliament will be dissolved on or by 6th of January, 2013. The new MPs will be sworn in around the 5th or 6th of January. And then the speaker will be elected before the president and his vice are also sworn in on the 7th. The committee is in place and they are working out these modalities. And the new MPs will start their session. So the life of this parliament will end on the 6th of January 2013, latest.
How successful will you describe the work of the 5th parliament?
This parliament has chalked a lot of successes for Mother Ghana. I can say without any contradiction that we have passed most of the important laws in the governance of this country. One, it was during the life of this parliament that we passed the Petroleum Revenue Management Law together with the Petroleum Commission Law, which will regulate the management of the resource, just like the Forestry Commission. You know, there was no legal framework to govern the resource that we're getting from the petroleum exploitation. We were also able to convert IPS into a full university, University of Professional Studies. We are also able to pass the Presidential Transition Law. I'm happy that it's as a result of this law that the president put in place the transition team to prepare the country towards the swearing in of the new executive or the new president and vice come January 7th. 2013. Financially too, this parliament has been able to approve some of the best loan agreements for the development of this country.
Are there any other ones that you wish this parliament could have done but you were not able to treat?
Yes, there are a few pieces of legislation that came before us but which we could not take due to pressure of time. One of them is the Interstate Succession Bill, which we have to pass into law. We also have before us the Right to Information Bill, which is still at the Joint Committee level.
Mr. Avoka also said arrangements are being made to accommodate MPs from the additional 45 newly created constituencies.
Before we went on the recess for us to have the elections, and even then when I came back, I had opportunity to meet the Clerk of Parliament to find out the arrangements that they have made so far to accommodate the new numbers of 275 members. As of now, we are not changing the office space because we can't, that will take time. What they are planning to do is to put in place a different set of chairs that can accommodate more people than the huge chairs that we have now that occupy a lot of space. If you watch other jurisdictions like the House of Commons, etc., you realize that they only have benches, more or less, that they say they don't have tables and the rest of them. Besides that, the 230 members do not take all the seats in the House. We no longer have space so that functionaries who are not members of Parliament can normally attend to the House during ceremonial occasions like State of the Nation address, budget reading, and the rest of them. So we are doing the necessary engineering come 7th January or thereabout. The 275 members will be able to be accommodated in the chamber.
Job 600 is going to house your offices. How far has it gone? Will it be ready by the 7th of January for you to start work?
I regret to say that from the briefing I had when I came, Job 600 is not likely to be ready on the 7th of January. Too many contractors are involved in the building. And while some contractors are normally ready to progress, one or two contractors may be holding them back for one reason or another. Originally, they were to hand over in June this year. They were shifted to September. and then to December. From what the clerk told me, it appears that it will be sometime in February or thereabout that we can have the full benefit or services of Job 600. So I know that when the new members of the parliament come, they may have to do without offices again for about 1 month or 2 months. And then sometime in February, March, they will have the benefit of these offices before they go on the Easter break, God willing.
Well, the majority leader, Cletus Avoka.
Ghanaians have been charged to reaffirm their commitment to God following the successful conduct of the general elections. They should bury whatever differences during the electioneering and move together as one people. The superintendent minister of the Apostle Church of the Mamprobi District, Apostle Daniel Kisi, said this at the 50th anniversary of the church. He asked Christians to renew their faith as they are about to enter the new year.
They had to worship under trees. There were some times when they were ejected from homes and houses, and there were no places for them to worship God. And as they come to a time when, by God's grace, they were able to acquire land, and now they have their own church, and they are worshiping peacefully, and they have the power of the Spirit in them. They are very joyous whenever they meet. So that enters them to be the 50th anniversary. And when we recollect, you know, the orders that the church has gone through, it proves that yes, God, who has been our leader, has made us more than conquerors.
Superintendent Minister of the Apostle Church of the Mamprobi District, Apostle Daniel Kisi.
The newly installed Archbishop of the Administrative Province of Ghana, His Grace the Most Reverend Dr. Daniel Yinka Safo, has appealed to the President-elect John Dramani Mahama to consider forming what he called a unity government to help bring all talents and experiences to bear on governance. According to him, it is time the winner-takes-all syndrome is put aside to give way for all hands to be brought on deck by tapping the expertise of some of the leaders who contested the elections for enhanced socio-economic development. Most Reverend Dr. Yinka Safo was delivering a sermon at a special service to install him as the first Archbishop of the newly created Administrative Province of Ghana. Correspondent Thomas Nsueje was at the ceremony and has come through with this report.
Dr. Yinka Safo was elected Archbishop at a recent special provincial synod and electoral college at Cuttington University in Liberia. This was after the Church of the Province of West Africa had approved amendments to its constitution to create two administrative internal provinces within the Church of the Province of West Africa. They are the Internal Province of Ghana and the Internal Province of West Africa, with separate autonomy, but all within the Church of the Province of West Africa. Most Reverend Dr. Yinka Safo, until his elevation, was the Bishop of the Kumasi Diocese of the Anglican Church. The new Archbishop commended Ghanaians for peaceful elections. He urged the supporters of both the winner and the loser to be moderate in their actions and should avoid tendencies that are likely to degenerate into violence. The Bishop of Cape Coast, the Right Reverend Dr. Daniel Alote, performed the enthronement. The Most Reverend Dr. Yinka Safo was born at Ejira in Ashanti in 1951 and ordained priest in 1980 and consecrated as bishop in March 1999. The Archbishop retired from the Ghana Armed Forces with the rank of major when he was elevated to the rank of Bishop of the Kumasi Diocese of the Church in 1999. Present at the ceremony were the Asantehene Otumfuo Setutu, service commanders of the Ghana Armed Forces, as well as the Ashanti Regional Minister, Dr. Kweku Agyeman Mensah.
That report was filed by Thomas Nsueje.
Government has directed that all HIV and AIDS patients who are registered with the National Health Insurance Scheme should, with immediate effect, not pay the 5 Ghana cedis that are currently being charged at the point of service. The Western Regional Minister Paul Evans Edu announced this in a speech read on his behalf at the Regional Deba at Bokasu to commemorate the celebration of the 2012 World AIDS Day. He said the directive is meant to achieve zero and HIV and AIDS new infections, zero discrimination, and zero AIDS-related deaths by 2015. Correspondent George Grant Youngson reports.
The celebration of the Regional World AIDS Day on December 1 was rescheduled because of the proximity of the date to the December 7 general elections. It is a day set aside by the UN for countries to reflect on progress made in response to HIV and AIDS and to recommit to halting and reversing the epidemic. It is an occasion to also remember people who have died through the disease. The global theme for this year's celebration is Getting Zero, New HIV Infections, AIDS-related death discrimination. The sub-team for Ghana is Accelerating to Zero Together. The Western Regional Technical Coordinator of the Ghana AIDS Commission, Mahama Abu, said HIV-AIDS prevalence in the Western region reduced from 3.1% in 2010 to 1.9% in 2011. He said, although this is a remarkable achievement, it should not give cause for celebration. This is because there are serious factors in the region which can escalate the disease if pragmatic interventions are not put in place. Mr. Abu said it is for this reason that the region has established a 400,000 Ghana Cedi HIV/AIDS response fund targeted at the year 2013 to promote programs including high condom use, activities of community-based organizations, and eradication of stigma of HIV/AIDS patients. The speech went on his behalf. The Western Regional Minister, Paul Evans Aidu, said, with support from government, the Regional Coordinating Council will speed up the regional response to HIV and AIDS and increase access as well as the quality of care for those living with HIV and AIDS in a stigma-free environment. He said the RCC is leaving no stone unturned to increase access to antiretroviral vaccines, particularly for those eligible, and will continue to optimize treatment for all persons living with HIV until zero AIDS-related deaths are achieved. A side attraction of the DEBA was HIV testing and counseling. For Radio Ghana, this has been George Grant Youngson reporting from Bogoso.
The NPP is asking all political parties to be prepared to abide by the Supreme Court's decision when the party challenges the results of the elections as declared by the EC. It said the NPP will accept the decision of the Supreme Court and ask other political parties to do same. Addressing the media in Accra, the Director of Communications of the party, Nana Kumia, said the party has so far collated results from over 20,000 out of the 26,000 polling stations, and the evidence gathered are overwhelming. When asked what has kept the party that long in going to court, Nana Kumia said the NPP will go to court within the 21 days. Nana Kumia said the court case will not affect the transition process. He asked all agents of the NPP not to honor any invitations by the EC.
Article 64 plus 1 talks about the validity of the election of the president may be challenged only by a citizen of Ghana who may present a petition for the purpose to the Supreme Court within 21 days after the declaration of the results of the election in respect of which the petition is presented. So the NPP basically has 21 days after the declaration of the results. The results are declared on Sunday, so counting 21 days after the 9th, that you're looking at the end of December, by the 30th of December. So basically, we have up to the 30th of December to present our petition. We know there's expectation that we should present the petition quickly. We believe that the evidence that we are gathering is so overwhelming that we want to present the evidence in the fullest of details. As you keep looking at the calculations, you discover more and more irregularities, more and more abnormalities. So we want to gather all the evidence of the abnormalities, the irregularities in the fullest of details before we go to the Supreme Court. We have to present evidence that will leave the court in no doubt whatsoever that they have to uphold our case. We want the evidence to be watertight. So we have teams that are doing the collation. There are teams that are double checking. There are teams that are triple checking. These are basically auditing teams of young people who are doing the calculation, who are doing the second stage auditing, third stage auditing to make sure that the case is tight.
Director of Communications of the NPP, Nana Kumia.
On the foreign front, Libya's parliament has ordered a temporary closure of southern borders and declared 7 southern regions restricted military areas. A spokesman for parliament, Omar Humidan, said the move was aimed at stemming the flow of illegal immigrants and goods. There is no indication of how long borders with Chad, Niger, Sudan and Algeria would remain closed. Libya's southern regions have struggled with lawlessness since former leader Muammar Gaddafi was toppled last year.
President Barack Obama says he will use the powers of his office to prevent a repeat of Friday's tragedy in which 26 children were shot to death at a school in Newtown, Connecticut. Speaking at an interfaith vigil in Newtown, Mr. Obama told residents that the nation shared their grief. 20 children and 6 women died in the assault on Sandy Hook School by a 20-year-old man who then took his own life. The gunman has been identified by police as Adam Lanza. Reports say he shot dead his mother before driving to the school in her car. Officials say he was armed with hundreds of rounds of ammunition and used a semi-automatic rifle as his main weapon. Mr. Obama repeated a call for action against gun crime, saying that in coming weeks he would endeavor to prevent more tragedies like this one.
Leader of the Liberal Democratic Party in Japan, Shinzo Abe, says his party has a heavy responsibility following its landslide victory in yesterday's elections. The party, which won almost 300 seats with its coalition partner, looks set for a two-thirds majority in the lower house. The governing Democratic Party suffered major losses, with leader Yoshihiko Noda stepping down. Mr. Abe faces tough decisions on the economy and the dispute with China.
Football. The Gold Premier League entered match day 11 yesterday at the various league centres. Ibiana Stars recorded a 2-0 win over Midyama SC to move to the top of the league table. The goals were scored by Daniel Dakwa in the 5th and 24th minutes of the first half. At the Babayara Sports Stadium, Asante Kotoko fought hard to secure a 3-1 victory over WA All Stars. Seydou Salifu put the visitors in the lead on the 45th minute through a penalty, but Kwabena Drisse equalized in the 82nd minute for the Porcupine Warriors. Nafiyu Idrisu and Richard Mpong grabbed 2 late goals to seal victory for the home side after an impressive display in the dying embers of the game. Heart of Oak suffered a second straight defeat after losing 2-0 to Heart of Lions at the Pando Park. The results of other matches played are Liberty Professionals 0, Dwarves 1, Amindawa's Professionals 1, New Edubiasa 0, Ash Gold 1, Tema Youth 1, Arsenal's 1, King Faisal 2, and R2U 2, Brekum Chelsea 3. Now to end the news, the main points again. A suggestion has been made to government to consider upgrading some polytechnics into technical universities instead of starting a new technical university from the scratch. The rector of the Takrade Polytechnic made the suggestion at a forum organized by the institution in Takrade. And Libya's parliament has ordered a temporary closure of its southern borders and declared 7 southern regions restricted military areas. The move is aimed at stemming the flow of illegal immigrants and goods. The news was presented by Samuel Essa
and Ibrahim Kwate in Accra.